Well, you were talking about lumber harvest a while ago. You said you got out of the dairy in 92. Did you get out because you wanted to, or because the milk prices went down?
Well, milk can quit.
See, she quit milking. And when she went to have her open heart surgery, she couldn't milk anymore. And the hospital bills was an enormous amount. So, in order to get insurance that would cover us, I was old enough to draw my Social Security. We had one insurance policy that covered this going to the hospital, but it wouldn't cover the doctor, doctor bills, things like that. If you join up and draw Social Security, you get Medicare and can draw Social Security. Well, when I joined up, then at the age it was, they wouldn't let me milk. I had to get the dairy out of my name. So we decided we'd rather see the country and travel some as that. And after she got out of the hospital with a heart operation, we started traveling.
You've been to I guess you've been to every state except Alaska. Hawaii, haven't you?
Yeah, everyone but Hawaii.
And you've been to Canada several times, haven't you?
Eight times, nine times up to Canada.
Well, you said that Glenn, your son, took over the dairy.
Yeah. All right. The low 70s, it was hard to sell enough milk to make ends meet. It just no price there could. Then it began to grow and come on up in the later part of the 80s. The milk price was good, but it didn't go up upon the feed price. You buy a load of feed and it was about twice as high as it was back when the milk was, the milk started going up. The milk did go up to match the feed cost. You couldn't get any labor. Labor was so high. And anybody that you could trust with the barn, milk cows, they had something of their own. They were doing better. And they just could not make the ends meet. Kids have been in it so long, and they're getting married and going with each other's way. Finally, we decided to set it out. And we've been in the timber business now. And the farm, whenever we buy all the timber we can get from our neighbors that want to sell, folks buy and cut it and leave ours standing, and whenever we can't buy theirs or it's raining wet, can't get theirs, we can get ours off of these ridges. And that's what we've been doing ever since we've been there.
So even before you got out of the dairy business, you had a sawmill you ran too, didn't you, kind of along with your lumber?
Yeah, we had a big circle saw then. Take 5 men to run in to run it properly.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, in the lumber business, you say, well, no, it's doing well. It right now compared to dairy business, it's a lot better.
Well, prices of lumber have just gone down now, pretty bad. They got to where they're cutting us off some now. Won't take logs for some time for 3 or 4 days. The longest period's been 2 weeks. What was that last hurricane we had? Opal came in and destroyed so much timber. Huge, big trees that normally wouldn't be cut. They had to cut them, bring them in, and that's what people's been cutting ever since. Well, from the tornado that came in here a few years ago in the snow. This March will be 3 years of snow coming, 2 years ago the tornado came. And it destroyed a lot of timber. Now this Oprah come in and it's destroyed more timber than all the other together. It's all over the whole country, and that's why timber's such a low price. That equipment to work it out, they expect the timber to go back up.
Well, if you were starting out again, would you go into farming if you knew then what you know now?
I think we would, because we've done sort of how we wanted to whenever we could make ends meet. We started in it. Now, you had to stay here and work, and you can't buy what everybody else is buying. You have to do about a lot of things in order to do that. You can't go to town and eat supper 3 or 4 nights a week. You got to save some. But we finally got a hold of this motorhome, on account of her health, not letting her be here by herself. And we've traveled on every state, Canada, Alaska. Still going again. We're probably going to leave before this thing gets out of this paper folder.
Well, looking back over the years and the accomplishments you've made and the recognition and the awards that you've gotten, what do you think? Was it just hard work? Or do you think that the economy was good? Or if someone were to ask you, how did you make it, what would you tell them?
Well, I married a good girl and she pinned me down. And saved, helped me make it, helped me save it.
Okay.
And I had kids come along, did the same thing.
Well, I believe that the Depression, people who fell through the Depression, I believe get along a lot better than the people who didn't, because we remember what it was like. And you're not going to go out and spend the last dime you've got for something you don't really need, but just want it. You think about, well, there might come another time when you would need that money, and it's better to save a little bit along as you go.
So people today don't appreciate what they have, then, do
well,
they?
Well, when we grew up now, we didn't have things like people did. I went to high school, one person owned the store. Their kids had pretty well what was about. There was about 3 stores. Nelson's, the Hopper, Lumpkin, they all had stores. And their kids had money. This man had 1 boy and 2 girls, and he would sneak around and go in the store. Somebody'd give him a dime, or he'd get one out of the cash register somewhere. And his sister would go to school, they couldn't get it. And when he got to school, they began searching and taking his money. And whenever they couldn't find it, he'd go down to Mr. Nelson's store at Waller Grove and get the candy and come back and give it to everybody, and he'd real popular. So one morning I get on the school bus and I walk by him, he sticks his hand up in his pocket and drops a dime. When they get to school, his sister and 2 or 3 more girls, they get him down searching, they can't find the dime. After it's over with, he comes around, gets his dime, and goes down. Goes down first and gets some candy out of it. He comes up, and that happened 2 or 3 times. And but from that time now, see, in the 30s was the lowest point that this country has seen, I think, now as far. Nothing since then has been that low. From that day, it started coming up. People began to get jobs, working, and things has changed on up to now. And I consider this is some of the best times I've ever seen. Everybody's got jobs, they got new cars, they got money. And the women folks is working with good, high-paying jobs. And see, by us being raised in that, we know what it was. And if it went back now, I don't know what people would do. And you can't live today without some kind of income. Back then, you could go out and grow your own corn and garden and cow, kill a hog, hang it up, and you had something to eat. Today, nobody knows how to keep them. Everybody's got deep freezes, well, that costs a lot of money to run them and keep them. If you don't raise it, you buy what you put in.
Okay, we've talked about the 20s and the 30s and 40s and the 50s and 60s, so we've talked about the Depression and World War II and Korea and the Vietnam War. In the 60s, though, the South was the so-called hot spot because of civil rights. A lot of people thought just because you lived in the South, you were racist or whatever. Were the places where y'all grew up, were there that many black people that lived there?
No, not on ours. Now, we raised some cotton. The people that had a truck or something, they'd go to town and get a truckload of them, bring them out. Now, I've never had no problem with black people.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, we had a man out here one time cleaning out a well. He made his living cleaning out wells. And when dinner time come, I told him, let's eat dinner. He had his own dinner. He's muddy and nasty as he can be. And I said, well, let's go in the house and eat dinner. Oh, no. I said, man, if you wash them feet off there, let's go in. Well, he had to get the mud off his shoes. It's muddy and everything. He had an old extra pair of britches on that he goes in the well with. He come in and sat down at the table. Whenever he left, he shook hands with me and said, I sure do appreciate that. So that makes me feel good that very few people ever ask me in their house. And that's the first table I put my feet under and have to eat off of the table. So I've never had no problem with him. I don't think we would with anybody if they'd have treated him right.
When I was growing up, my daddy did a lot of truck gardening. He would take vegetables and milk, butter, and eggs down and peddle it out. And he always, you know, the black people were his customers. And he was always nice to them, and they were always nice to him. And I can remember one time at church, we had a singing on Sunday night. And Papa took his car and went and brought a whole carload of black people out there. They were singers. And they entertained us at the church that night, in the white people's church. And nobody was any different towards them than they were the black people. I don't know. I never even thought about, you know, being ugly to a black person.